City and Temple Destroyed, Chapter 111. Josiah tried but was unsuccessful in halting the Egyptian army led by King Necho. He was shot to death, and the Egyptian army marched unhindered toward the north to Assyria. We have told you that Josiah died on the way to Jerusalem and was buried with honor by his bereaved subjects. After the funeral, the people made Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, king. He did not reign long. He only reigned 3 months. During these 3 months, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He was a wicked monarch. Josiah did everything he could to destroy idolatry, but his son Jehoahaz hastened to institute the worship of idolatry again. Did the inhabitants of Jerusalem agree with this idol worshiping? Didn't the people warn their king against it? No, sad enough, they did not. Why didn't they? Didn't they solemnly promise Josiah, their king, and they would worship the Lord? Yes, it is true. They did make that promise, but only with their lips. They didn't do it with their whole hearts and in uprightness. They did it only to please Josiah, their king. Now that Josiah is dead, and Jehoahaz is willing to worship the idols, they too agree. Yes, they help their sovereign, and at the end of 3 months the idols are being worshipped in all places. Within 3 months, smoke again rises from the altars which stand about the country. These offerings are brought in honor to the idols. How terrible, isn't it? By this they insulted the Lord, and they shall be the cause of much misery that shall overcome them. At first, Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt, had no time to punish Judah for their hostile attitude, but 3 months later he imprisoned Jehoahaz. The wicked king of Judah is bound and led as a captive to Egypt. In that foreign country he died, far from his own native land. Now who must reign over Judah and Benjamin? Will the people choose another monarch? No, they may not do so. Necho, the king of Egypt, gives the Jewish nation a new king. Jehoahaz had no children. Therefore, Jehoiakim, another son of Josiah and a brother of Jehoahaz, has the crown set upon his head by the Egyptian king. Jehoiakim reigned 11 years over Judah and Benjamin. And how did he reign? Was he a God-fearing king? Oh no, read what is recorded in the Bible about him. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. The nation was also punished by Necho. The people had to pay a high tribute to this foreign sovereign. Jehoiakim demanded gold and silver from the common people. Everyone must pay something. Jehoiakim really was a servant of Egypt. He must obey Necho. But this did not last a long period of time. A short time later, the Egyptian army, which had been in Assyria, returns to Egypt. Just look. See how quickly they go. The Egyptian soldiers hurry as fast as they can to their own country. It seems as if they are fleeing. Fleeing? Did Necho lose the war against Assyria? No, but much has changed in a short time. Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, had been conquered and destroyed. At one time, Jonah had preached that Nineveh would be punished. Now this punishment has come. This enormous city, was not conquered by the king of Egypt, but by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. What Josiah had feared has happened. The kingdom of Babylon has grown strong and powerful. Nebuchadnezzar declared war against Assyria and defeated the Assyrian army. The capital of Nineveh was conquered by him. At that time, there were two foreign armies in Assyria at the same time. The one was the Egyptian army under King Necho, and the other was the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar. And do you know what happened? The king of Babylon began to fight against Necho, the king of Egypt. The Egyptian army lost the battle. They were driven back to their own country by Nebuchadnezzar. That is the reason why the Egyptians are fleeing so quickly. They are fleeing from the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar pursues the Egyptian army. This brings him into Judah and Benjamin. Yes, he comes into Jerusalem. Jehoiakim is permitted to remain king, but he must promise Nebuchadnezzar that he will serve him. Consequently, this makes Jehoiakim a servant of Nebuchadnezzar. Every year he must give Nebuchadnezzar a gift. Jehoiakim promises to do so. Then the king of Babylon leaves Jerusalem with his army. However, Nebuchadnezzar takes as captives into Babylon some of the most distinguished Jews. This is the first captivity. The king especially wanted the children of the royal family to go with him. Do you know who was among the imprisoned princes? Can you guess? A young man with bowed head walks among those who are led captive. He is Daniel. Remember this name, for you will hear much about Daniel. Really, king, you should no longer serve King Nebuchadnezzar. Every year, you send the king of Babylon your best cattle from the stalls and your choicest fruits from the fields. You should be wiser and stop sending those gifts. Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, sits upon his throne while the elders of Judah and Jerusalem stand before him. They are trying to make him rebel. Jehoiakim is a servant of the king of Babylon. He has solemnly promised Nebuchadnezzar to serve and obey him. And now? Now the rulers and princes of the people want him to break that promise. This is a difficult problem for Jehoiakim. What must he do? Jehoiakim, ask the Lord for advice. Bend your knees and ask God to give you wisdom in deciding this matter. Oh no, Jehoiakim will not do that. He hates the Lord and serves idols. Even though Jehoiakim doesn't need the Lord will inform the king what he must do. The Lord sends one of his servants, a prophet, to him. He is the prophet Jeremiah. This prophet says to Jehoiakim, King, the Lord says you must not hearken to the rulers. You must continue to serve the king of Babylon. What does Jehoiakim do? Does he follow this good advice? No, he does not listen to the word of the Lord. He does what the princes of Judah advise him. He will no longer serve the king of Babylon. He agrees with the rulers. He breaks his promise and rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. He hopes the king of Egypt will help him. Yes, he really depends upon the support of the Egyptians. When Nebuchadnezzar hears that Jehoiakim will no longer obey him, he becomes angry. and marches with his army toward Jerusalem, intending to punish this disobedient king. But Jehoiakim dies before the Babylonian army comes into Jerusalem. Some people say Jehoiakim was slain in battle, but we cannot say because God's word is silent about it. This we do know, he was not buried honorably. He didn't receive a kingly burial. Far from Jerusalem, he had the burial of an ass. We know this from Jeremiah 22, verse 19. This was prophesied by Jeremiah. This punishment came upon him because he would not listen to the word of the Lord. The gates of Jerusalem are opened, and a large procession of people leave the capital. They are not cheerful. They walk with bowed heads. Many tremble. Tremble? Why? Just look and see where they are going. Thousands of tents are pitched in a large circle around the city, and many soldiers walk among those tents. They are not friendly soldiers. They are Babylonian soldiers. With his enormous army, Nebuchadnezzar has laid siege around Jerusalem. He intends to punish the disobedient Jehoiakim and his subjects because they have rebelled against him, the mighty king of Babylon. But Jehoiakim is no longer alive, and his son Jehoiachin reigns in his stead. This monarch sat upon the throne only 3 months. He did not worship the Lord. He also worshipped idols. When Jehoiakim saw this mighty army of Nebuchadnezzar surrounding the city, terror entered his heart. He knew he could not win against Nebuchadnezzar. He surely would lose. Do you know what? He will surrender. This seems to be the best thing to do. Probably Nebuchadnezzar will not be too angry and may even forgive him. He leaves Jerusalem, but he does not go alone. No, he goes with his mother, his servants, his courtiers, and his princes. They form a large procession as they approach the tents of the Babylonians. Soon they stand before the mighty monarch, their hearts pounding with fear. Will it help that they have surrendered so quickly? No, it does not help. The eyes of the king of Babylon sparkle angrily. Oh, they already can see he will not forgive their disobedience. He feels offended and remains angry. Jehoiakim is taken a prisoner, and the army of Babylon enters Jerusalem. The city is plundered. All the gold and silver is taken by Nebuchadnezzar. Jehoiakim can no longer be king. Nebuchadnezzar does not trust him. Nebuchadnezzar appoints a new monarch over Judah and Benjamin. He is Zedekiah, an uncle of Jehoiakim, the third son of the God-fearing Josiah. Zedekiah must solemnly promise to obey Nebuchadnezzar and to serve him. Yes, he must promise it with an oath. Nebuchadnezzar demands this from him. So Zedekiah swears by the Lord that he will not rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. When the matter is settled, the king of Babylon leaves Jerusalem, but he does not go away alone. 10,000 people are led into captivity to Babylon. This is the second captivity. The prisoners leave the city in a lengthy procession. Never again will they see their native country. This is the result of their pride. This is the result of their sin in not hearkening to the word of the Lord. But now it is too late. Ezekiel, the prophet, is among these thousands of prisoners. He also must go. Once more they look around. Their tears fill their eyes as the rough conquerors drive them forward to far away Babylon. It is 9 years later. Come, in our thoughts we will visit Jerusalem once again. We see many, many soldiers walking through the streets. It seems as though there is another war. Yes, children, that is correct. The gates are locked, and the watchers watch day and night upon the walls. A mighty army is encamped outside the city. Jerusalem is being besieged. What? Besieged again? How has that happened? Alas, it is a sad story. Listen, and I will tell you. You remember, do you not, that Zedekiah has become king? He had sworn he would obey Nebuchadnezzar. And he broke his promise. In spite of all his promises, he rebelled against the king of Babylon. The princes had come to the king and urged him to rebel. Jeremiah had gone to Zedekiah and had warned the king. King, do not rebel, this prophet had said seriously. O king, do listen to the word of the Lord and continue to serve the king of Babylon. But the princes had said, King, you must not listen to Jeremiah. He is a deceiver. Zedekiah had rejected the advice of Jeremiah and had followed the evil advice of the princes and the rulers. He refused further obedience to Nebuchadnezzar. We read in the Bible, Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And now the embittered king of Babylon has come to severely punish this disobedient city. His tens of thousands of courageous soldiers surround the walls of Jerusalem. O Zedekiah frightened exceedingly. What must I do? He asked anxiously of the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet answered, You must surrender. The king of Babylon will spare you, and you will remain alive. If you refuse to listen to the word of the Lord, you will be slain. Now you must know for yourself. When the rulers hear of Jeremiah's advice to the king, they are furious with him and put him in prison. You will hear more about Jeremiah's imprisonment in the following chapter. The siege continued 2 years. Despairingly, the Jewish people defend themselves, causing Nebuchadnezzar to encamp before the city for the space of 2 years. The Jews expected help from Egypt, but that help never came. Finally, the city is conquered. King Zedekiah and the soldiers who still are alive secretly flee out of the city during the middle of the night. They hope to make their escape in the dark. However, the Babylonian soldiers soon notice what is taking place. They pursue the king. They overtake and capture him in the plains of Jericho near Jordan. His wives and children also fall into the hands of the embittered Babylonians. They bring him, his family, and his rulers to Nebuchadnezzar, their king. The king is very angry. You have deceived me, Nebuchadnezzar roars. You promised with an oath that you would serve me but you have shamefully broken your promise. Neither can I trust you. And then, oh, how dreadful. Look what happens. The children of Zedekiah are slain before his eyes, but he can do nothing about it. He cannot prevent it. They then come to him, but they do not kill him. Do you know what they do to him? They put out both his eyes so that he is permanently blind. He is bound with chains of brass and dragged to Babylon. The kings of those days were not very gentle. They were rough and cruel. Poor, poor Zedekiah. Yes, it is true. We can sympathize with him. But, why didn't he listen to the prophet Jeremiah? He knew he would be punished, didn't he? It is his own fault. Whoever will not bend before the Lord will be broken. The general of Nebuchadnezzar plunders and destroys Jerusalem. The name of this general is Nebuzaradan. The temple is plundered too. The two brass pillars which stood at the entrance of the house of the Lord, the brazen sea, the 12 oxen upon which the brazen sea rested, and all the vessels of God's house are taken and carried away. Yes, they take everything which has any value, no matter what it may be. When the temple is finally rifled of everything, this beautiful building is set afire. The roaring flames leap higher and higher, and soon this magnificent temple, once built by Solomon with so much care, is a large sea of fire. Not only the temple, but also the palace of the king is set on fire. Yes, every large and beautiful house in the city is burned. It seems as though the entire city is aflame. The flames roar and crack. The walls are broken down, and the gates are burned. What about the people? The inhabitants of Jerusalem, at least those who are still alive, for tens of thousands have found death in the siege, are brought forth outside Jerusalem by Nebuzaradan, the general of Nebuchadnezzar. They will be led away as captives to Babylon. This is the third captivity. Oh, look, there they go. They also look around once more, but all they see is smoking ruins. Their beautiful, strong capital is destroyed. This is the end of the kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. Only the very poorest farmers who live in the open plains may remain living where they are. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, appoints a governor over them. This governor's name is Gedaliah. Nebuchadnezzar will not give these people another king or another opportunity to rebel against him. That is finished for once and for good. Oh, boys and girls, wasn't this a sad story? The kingdom of the 10 tribes was led away captive many years before by the Assyrians. And why? Because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers. So sin was the cause thereof. Now the kingdom of the 2 tribes is led away captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And why? Because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers. So here too, sin is the cause thereof. Sin destroys countries and people. Sin is the cause of all misery. The Lord did not spare the kingdom of the 10 tribes, neither did the Lord spare the kingdom of the 2 tribes. Will the Lord spare our country and people? Our nation also has forsaken the Lord, the God of our fathers. Neither will our nation take heed to the warnings of the Lord. Again, I ask you, will the Lord spare us if we as a nation refuse to serve the Lord? No, no, indeed not. God is righteous. Sin will destroy our nation too. Yes, sin will destroy you too. Therefore, it is so necessary for us to be delivered from this dreadful monster, sin. Do you ever ask for such deliverance?